coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of Peter. At the end of chapter 3, the Apostle Peter spoke about Christ suffering once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Peter also emphasized that Christ not only died, but was made alive and descended into hell to announce his victory over all his enemies. Then Jesus ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Now in chapter 4, the Apostle Peter picks up again the subject of Christ's suffering and the suffering of his followers. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. If we recollect the story of Christ's passion, we realize that he suffered in the flesh. Since he was God and man, Christ suffered just as other humans do. The beatings he received, the crown that was put on his head, the nails that pierced his hands, all this caused immense pain to Jesus. Let us note, however, that Christ's suffering went much beyond human suffering. He suffered in his soul the pain of hell, the pain of abandonment from his Father, the pain of paying the price for the salvation of humankind. The Apostle Peter displays before the eyes of the believers the suffering servant Jesus Christ as an example to be followed, to be compassionate as he was, not repaying evil with evil. Believers are to be prepared also to suffer unjustly, and to face such abuse with Christ's attitude, with his willingness to suffer for doing good. Such suffering enables a believer to set out correctly his priorities. Sinful desires and practices that once seemed important now seem insignificant when one's life is in danger. Suffering for Christ produces progress in a godly life. Believers belong to God and his service. The Apostle Peter continues to write in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 3-6. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. The Apostle draws a contrast between the life of a Christian and the lives of Gentiles, that is, unbelievers. In the past, before having been brought to faith in Christ, we have lived in all kinds of sins. That is enough, says the Apostle. Even if we never sinned again, we have committed more than enough sins in the past. Now forgiven in Christ, we should not seek new opportunities to follow the pattern of the unbelieving world. What is the pattern of the unbelieving world like? Peter paints the picture, mentioning sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. All these sins are timeless practices, for we can see them grossly exposed around us. Unbelievers are surprised when they notice that Christians do not join them in these practices. Consequently, Christians are ridiculed and abused for refusing to take part in the way unbelievers live. This causes suffering for Christians. The Apostle Peter, however, underlines the fact that God's judgment will certainly come about those who disbelieve in Christ and delight in the sins described earlier. Sinners will have to give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Then the Apostle makes a statement that imposes some difficulties to be understood correctly. He says, "For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead." Scripture teaches that the opportunity for salvation is limited to the time a person is alive. Once a person died, the time for repentance, faith, and salvation is gone. When Peter speaks of the preaching of the gospel to those who are dead, he is referring to a past event. Peter had in mind believers who had heard the gospel of Christ and believed in it when they were still alive, but who had died by the time he wrote this letter. Some of them, perhaps, had been martyred for their faith. Their physical death was a judgment in the flesh. Physical death is a consequence of sin. However, death has been overcome by Christ, and therefore those who die believing in Christ live in the Spirit the way God does. In the sequence of his letter, Peter writes in chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The end of all things is at hand. Similar statements are found in several places in the New Testament. Each new day takes us a step closer to the day when the Lord will return to judge the living and the dead. Christians live in expectation of the coming of Christ, which could be at any time. Whether by His second coming or by our death, we should always be prepared to meet Him. For this reason, the Apostle admonishes us to live a godly life. He recommends us to be self-controlled and sober-minded, that is, to have control over our actions. This will help us to avoid willful sin. This is important because sin hinders prayer by turning our attention from God to ourselves. Peter speaks in practical terms of the Christian life. He says, "Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Christ's love is sacrificial, undeserved, unconditional love. Since He loved us, we shall love too. Love is one of the main characteristics of a Christian. Love is not only expressed in words, but also in deeds. One of the deeds of love is forgiving the trespasses of our neighbors. Love covers a multitude of sins, says the Apostle. In Christ, we love others and freely forgive them. Furthermore, Peter recommends, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Literally, hospitality means love of strangers. Love is intensely practical, not just emotional. In Peter's day, love included opening one's home and caring for other needy Christians, such as traveling preachers. It also included opening one's home for church services. Scripture also teaches that Christians should be hospitable to strangers. Furthermore, the apostle teaches some aspects of Christian stewardship. He highlights the fact that each has received a gift. Nobody has been left out, but everyone has been blessed with one or another gift. The Spirit gives different gifts to be used in service to others. These gifts do not belong to us, but have been granted to us by God. Therefore, we are not owners, but stewards of God's varied grace. A steward is responsible for another's resources, namely, of God's. Peter refers to some of God's gifts, including the gift of speaking oracles of God. By oracles of God are meant the very words of God. A Christian's speech shall express God's word. Another gift is the gift of service. There are many opportunities for us Christians to serve our neighbors, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Christian service has not only to do with donations of food, clothing, and the like. Christian service has also to do with manual work, for instance, cleaning a house. Christian service has to do with offering a lift to someone who needs to see the doctor. What is the ultimate purpose of being stewards of God's gifts? The use of the gifts granted by God aimed the following: that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the goal of everything, to glorify God. In summary of what we have been considering so far today, we can say that Christ suffered in the flesh and became sin in our stead. He now calls us to live the new life He has given us as stewards of His gifts. Everything we have, even our lives, are used to benefit the church and our neighbor. Through our words and actions, we bring Christ to a world that is dead in sin, so that some may come alive in Christ, even as we have been made alive. Back to the first letter of Peter, we read in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Peter touched on the subject of suffering several times in his letter. Those were times when Christians were under persecution, and as a result, suffering because of the faith was a common element. By the way, God never promised a life free of thorns to Christians. On the contrary, time and again we find in Scripture statements that speak of suffering. For instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22, we read, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." In the text we are considering, Peter speaks of a fiery trial the readers of his letter were experiencing. The apostle probably wrote his letter shortly before or after the burning of Rome and the beginnings of the horrors of 200-year period of Christian persecution. The apostle reminds his readers that this fiery trial was not something strange they were experiencing. The reader should not think that something happened accidentally. On the contrary, God allowed it and designed it for the believer's testing, purging, and cleansing. The purpose of trials is to test us, says the Apostle. Like gold is purified by fire, so Christian faith is purified by trials. The reformer Martin Luther writes in this respect, God lays a cross on all believers in order that they may taste and prove the power of God, the power which they have taken hold of through faith. End of quote. Interestingly, Peter states that Christians share Christ's suffering. The Christian who is persecuted for his faith is a partner in the same kind of suffering Jesus endured, suffering for doing what is right. Suffering for the sake of Christ is truly unpleasant. However, it is an honor for Christians who know that their Savior suffered to save them. Therefore, the Apostle exhorts Christians to rejoice now in this life, so that they may also rejoice and be glad when Christ's glory is revealed. A Christian who is persecuted for righteousness in this life will have overflowing joy in the future because of his reward. Peter expands his comments on suffering in chapter 4, verses 14 to 19 of his first letter. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. The Apostle distinguishes two reasons for suffering. One, suffering because of the name of Christ or the Christian faith. And two, suffering because of doing evil. In the first case, suffering occurs on account of being insulted for the name of Christ. This can happen because of unfair treatment for being a representative of all that Christ is, and for the public proclamation of the name of Christ. Sufferers for this particular reason are called blessed. This kind of suffering brings no shame about. On the contrary, God is glorified. When a believer suffers, God's presence especially rests and lifts him to strength and endurance beyond the physical dimension. The second reason for suffering is because of committing murder, or stealing, or doing evil, or being a meddler, that is, intruding into matters that belong to someone else. In these cases, suffering is a just reward for the sins committed. Peter speaks of judgment, not in the sense of the judgment on the last day when Christ will call to account all people, but judgment in the sense of suffering. Some people see the effects of their own sin because of the practice of crimes or doing evil. To Christians who suffer for Christ's name, God allows to face suffering so that they might repent. If God brings judgment on his own people, how much more serious will the judgment be that he will bring on unbelievers? The Apostle Peter encourages us to entrust our souls to God when we suffer while doing good. Summing up what the Apostle teaches about suffering, we can say, God permits suffering in our lives for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it comes as a direct result of our own sin, in order to discipline us. Other times, It is an effect of being God's child in a world that wants to crush His church. Although we do not know God's hidden will, we trust He has only the best in mind for us. He will strengthen, uphold, and bless us in the midst of persecution. He will use any afflictions we face for our good or for blessing others. With our eyes on the cross, we can endure. Our God will preserve us, and He has prepared an eternal home for us in heaven for the sake of Christ. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.